Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
The book of Matthew, the 9th chapter. I'm so glad you are here. Thank you for standing, our guest. It's so good to have you with us today. It is good to be in the house together, worshiping God, being grateful, being thankful, and being strengthened by the purpose of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. It says this in the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter, in the 18th verse. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying in verse number 18, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now, if you would, move down to the 23rd verse. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Everybody say, making a noise.
Making a noise.
He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Verse number 24. And he said unto them, give place. Amen. Let me talk to you for a while and walk with me today in the word. Give place. Amen. Father, I pray right now that we would give you place in our mind and our heart and our life and everything about us, God. That you would be first and foremost. We would seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, and all the things that we need would be added to us. And help us to remember, God, never to reverse that. And I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and just and kind. And I pray that you would anoint me and anoint this people. And thank you, Lord, that you have brought us together on this Sunday yet again for the purpose that you have of holy things and salvation for our souls. So God, do great things today. Do wonderful things. Show yourself strong and be glorified in this house. And let the church say in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen. Now, would you be kind to two people nearby you, if you would, please? Be kind. Say something very, very, very nice to them. Lord. Would you thank him? Hallelujah. I love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Take heed. Those were the words of warning given by Jesus to those who had asked him when and what would be the things that would come to pass before and at his return. It was a call. It was a call to attention, to leave and to lose the distractions and to understand what could not be misunderstood. Look at this in Luke. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. It was the weighted warning given that they could not let their hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of life, so that that day, everybody say that day, would not come upon them unawares. His words were strong. You have to look at the entirety of this particular chapter to have the complete intonation of it, of how he was saying this, what he was saying in response to what he was saying, to what they were asking, and to understand this. But nonetheless, these were weighted words. It was a weighted warning that was given. They could not let their hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of life. His words were strong. They were significant, overcharged. Look at this, overcharged, he said. Surfeiting or carousing, drunkenness, or in other words, loss of self-control and senses, cares of this life, which was obvious. It would be the overcharged or weighted life of these things that would cause there to be the lack of awareness of spiritual perception as to the things that indicated his imminent return. These things, being overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of life, carousing, all these things, would be the things that would cause there to be in the life of the believer and the unbeliever alike the opportunity to not see the indications of his imminent return. That's what he was saying. The overcharged life leaves little room for things of the Spirit that keep us spiritually alert. When we are overcharged, there is very little room for spiritual things. The clutter of carnality in our life crowds out the spiritual sensitivity that we desperately need to see and to see the things of God at work in and around us. I need you to keep up with me right now. I'm going to move rather fast for a moment. We have to understand that when there is clutter, when there's carnality that we're constantly dealing with, then we fail to see acutely, awarely, what God is trying to have us to understand in the things that are at work around us personally and around us collectively in the world. Because it is not just the things that we often look on the landscape of life in the peripherals of our vision spiritually, but it is often things within our life personally that we need to be acutely aware about that is indicating the return of the Lord. He spoke to Noah specifically and told him to get into the ark because the rain was coming. Can I tell you, it cannot be that we are just collectively looking out at the landscape, but there must be that we are personally looking inward and understanding the things that God is trying to communicate to us about his return. Because it should not be that you and I, the believer, allows that day to come upon us unawares. Amen. Amen. For as a snare it shall come, Jesus said. For the unsaved soul, understand this now. Don't be confused about this scripture. It shall come as a snare, he said. For the unsaved soul, it will be like a snare that catches the prey in its net that it can no longer flee from, causing imminent death. But for the saved soul, it shall be a catching away. It shall be quick, the grasp of grace that saves us from the judgment that is to come. But it will only be, we will only be aware if we watch, therefore, and pray always, that we may be accounted worthy to escape. The answer, hear me, the answer to the uncluttered, unencumbered life from carnality and sin hinges upon the willingness to watch and pray. Yeah. It is simply that. It is not complex. You don't have to break out, open a Greek or Hebrew lexicon. You don't have to wonder what the translation of the word is. It is simply to watch and pray. Right. It is that simple. Only through a spiritual vigil and persistent prayer, watching and praying, can we keep our hearts from being overcharged. Only through watching and praying can we keep ourselves from being overcharged. No one usually knows, knowingly allows the accumulation of things that crowd out the Savior. Nobody often just willingly, knowingly invites them in so that God no longer has room. It happens gradually over the course of time. And certain things are accepted. They're allowed in that just start to get in the way of what he wants to do in us. They just get in between us and God. They become the things that clutter the life until finally we are overcharged. He said it this way in the book of Hebrews, we become weighted down with the noise, the surfeiting that surfeiting brings. It drowns out the voice of the Spirit speaking to us. The noise drowns out the Spirit speaking to us. We have an ear. We have an ear for the world and this life, yet we do not have an ear to hear and to take heed. We can hear the things in the world, but often we fail to hear and articulate the things of God. We become overcharged with drunkenness, inebriated, in other words, on things of this world. Can I pause there? We become inebriated on things of this world, the satisfying of the flesh and sin, to where there is no room for spiritual things. And then the accumulation of the cares of life, of this life, they crowd more compactly in, and we struggle to find our way through it all that comes in between us and God. It just gets so thick. It just gets so overwhelming, so overcharged, so much. We lose our sense. We lose it. And that's what he was warning. Watch and pray. Watch and pray was the remedy. Watch and pray, he said, would make them, us, worthy. Watch and pray would give him place in our life. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. There is nothing glamorous. Hear me. There is nothing glamorous about it. It is the repeated routine of righteousness. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. It will not make the top 10 sermons of the year. It will not be the popular podcast or even draw a crowd. But there is something powerful and precious in watching and praying. It gives God place in your life. Watch and pray. Young man, young lady, young couple, older person in this place, whatever your lot in life is right now, watch and pray. We are not going to be able to negotiate this particular time without watching and praying. We are not going to be able to stand. Anybody with me right now? How about over here on the right? We are not going to be able to stand in this evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If we're going to be able to stand and endure, we're going to have to watch and pray. Parents, if your kids are going to be saved, you're going to have to watch and pray. If your home is going to be godly, you're going to have to watch and pray. If we're going to have church like we need to have church, we're going to have to watch and pray. If souls are going to be saved, we're going to have to watch and pray. If you want peace in your life, you're going to have to watch and pray. I recognize it's not fancy. I recognize you're not going to get a medal for it in this life, but you got to watch and pray. Somebody agree with that right now. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching the sermon right now. I'm out of my notes, but just let me go a little bit further. He looked at the disciples and he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? That is the beckoning call of the Savior still to this day. What is it? Why can't you watch with me? He looks to a world that he's given everything for and he asks, why can't you watch with me? He looks at people that he died on the cross for and he asks the question, why can't you watch with me? Amen. In other words, why can't you live for me? Why can't you just stay the course? Why can't you be steady in it? Why? Hear me now. If he paid it all for you and I, we should give it all to him.
Yes,
watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. It should be the repetitious words of our life every day when we wake up and when we go to bed at night. Watch and pray, watch and pray. But he comes as a thief in the night. Amen. Not to catch you and I unawares. No, no, no. The church should have an awareness in the spirit. Amen. Because we're watching.
Yes.
And we're praying. You understand that? For the unsaved world, he comes as a thief in the night. The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. That is not the nature of the Savior. He's not coming to kill you. He doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when he will come again. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now we'll get back to where we need to be. Amen. We become overcharged with drunkenness. Things enter in. We have to learn to watch and play. It gives God place in our life. That was what Jesus called for when he entered the ruler's house. A ruler came to him and told him that his daughter was dead, but if he would just come, look at this wording. If he would just come and lay his hand upon her, she would live. There is a great, great peace that's found in the simple petition of this ruler. A man who no doubt had a certain grasp of what power meant, the fanfare that surrounded it, the complex issues that he no doubt dealt with continually. He just wanted. Look at the simplicity of this prayer.
Yes.
He just wanted. He just believed that all that she needed was Jesus to put his hand on her and everything would be all right.
Yes.
Do you see this? He just believed, simply believed, that if he would just touch her, everything would be all right. We often struggle with all the things that we try to control and figure out and we reason away. We fret and we worry and we wonder and we lay the map out in front of us as to how the landscape of our life will look, the dread, the doom, and we just can't take our eyes off the dread and the doom.
Right.
We get so worried and consumed about the things that are occupying our attention and our mind and we just try to figure it out and we wring our hands and we wonder in our heart and when what we really need to do is just trust Jesus enough that all we need, somebody hear me today, if you walk out of here and you don't get anything else, if you'll just get this, if we would just remember that all we need is his touch in our life, and everything will turn out the way that it should.
Yes,
just his touch can change everything.
Yes.
I have been in some of the greatest services that my mind can recollect. And can I tell you, sometimes it was just the simple touch of the Savior that saved me at that critical moment. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, it was filled with those who were mourning. The music and the people were simply, they were just making a noise. So it was then and there that he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. All that had gathered, the ones that were affirming, they were affirming the dying and the death of this girl, were crowding around to occupy their space. They wanted a front row seat to the death. They wanted a front row seat to the dying. But God, the giver of life, commanded that they give place to him. The noise was no longer needed. The mourners no longer meant anything. So they were put forth, thrown out. Get this, get the picture here. They were thrown out. They were put forth, made to leave, gone, not welcome, no more room for them. Jesus was deliberate about it.
Yes.
He made them leave. Why is it, stick with me, why is it we are so casual and careful when handling things in this world and in our life that are against and oppose God? It can feel like at times that we are more concerned about offending sin and making a sinful world feel uncomfortable than we are about pleasing God. We're more concerned about making sure they got room, making sure the world's got room around us, and making sure that it's accommodated than we are about pleasing God in our life. We sit silent with all the noise and things that surround us that are sinful. And that I'm going to be very pointed here for just a couple minutes, so stick with me. We sit silent with all the noise and things that surround us that are sinful and ungodly because we don't want to upset anybody.
My God.
We don't want anybody feeling awkward. We don't want anybody feeling uncomfortable. Carnality in our life and our world is sometimes treated like something that we need to pacify so that we can stay on talking terms with it.
Right.
Just keep it close enough that every now and then we can have a conversation with our carnality. Or we can have some kind of dialogue with our sin, or we can just keep it close enough that we've got it within arm's reach, or we can reach out and handle it again and have it in our life, and but yet we keep grace right over here on an on-call basis. No, that sin is crowding God out of your life. That sin that you are entertaining, that sin that might be in our life, it is crowding God out. It's going to cause people, hear me, it is going to cause people to go to hell. We will be lost if we don't cast it out and stop letting it play its siren song in our life. You cannot tolerate sin in your life and be comfortable with it and think that God will agree with it. And by agree with this kind of preaching right now, you can't accommodate it, give it room, because the more room that you give it, the more room that it will take up. Because one thing will magnetize and it will draw something else. And pretty soon you'll find that you're going to be offended and you're going to have bitterness in your life and you're going to have hurt in your life and you're going to have woes in your life and you're going to have sin in your life and you're going to make more room for it and you're going to accept it in the world. And pretty soon the distance between you and Jesus is going to be so great that he can't reach out and just lay his hand on your life. Amen. There was another time that Jesus cast some things out to make room for what was right. He grabbed some cords and made a whip and turned over tables and started swinging. Now, you may not like to look at it that way. You may not like to hear those kind of words. And you may not like to look at Jesus that way, because our culture does not want a religion that confronts its sin. It wants to be tolerated, accepted, and agreed with. But no matter what people want to think, he turned over tables. And he ran them out. There was nothing casual or complacent about it. Why are we? Why don't we turn some things over in our life? He said to them, his house would be called, everybody stick with me. He said that his house would be called a house of prayer, but they had made it. They had made it, created it, made it a den of thieves. Look at this, if you would, please. Church, spirituality, relationship with God is what we make it to be. They made it a den of thieves that bought and sold their worship and praise. What are we making this house today? What are we making our life today? What are we deciding our life is going to be? Because our spirituality and our relationship with God is up to us. Nobody makes us serve God. Nobody makes us live for God. Nobody makes us be holy. We determine and we decide that that's the life we're going to live. Why? Because we make this house what it's supposed to be. It wasn't about just the buildings of sticks and stones that he was talking about there, but it was about the very fabric of our being, the soul, the earthen vessel. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be about God and not of ourselves. So can I tell you, this house of clay, this house of flesh, I make it what it's supposed to be for God. I can make it a den of thieves, or I can make it something that is consecrated and holy to God and dedicated to him. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He cleaned it out. They had made it a den of thieves. They bought and sold. He cleaned it out because it was meant to be a place where holy things took place. This place Now, I'm going to talk about this place right now, okay? Stick with me. This place today is not just a building of metal and stone. It is a place where eternal things happen, where the salvation of your soul and those that you love are saved. It's not a convocation of carnality that we are all just getting together and coddling each other on any given Sunday. It is a place where we deal with our sins and the tables are turned over and things are put in their proper place. That's what's going on in this house right now. Look at this in Ecclesiastes. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Watch how you walk in this place. You're saying, but this building can't save me. You're absolutely right. This building cannot save you, but who is here can. His name is Jesus. Watch how you walk in here. There are holy, godly things that work on this ground. Show some respect for it. The crushing weight of eternity is being decided in people's lives around this place. Now, listen, you're looking at a 58-year-old guy that was raised up in a generation that my mom and dad, I knew their clip and all the other clips of young people in the church. I had to sit in front of my mom and dad, and I knew my dad's when everybody else was if I was doing something I shouldn't do, and I was taught that there were certain places I couldn't go in the church, and there were certain things I couldn't do, and there was a certain way that I talked to my pastor, and I did not talk to my pastor or any other minister or any other elder for that matter. I was taught how I treated them and respected them when I came in this house, and you don't want to know why? Because I was raised in the light of that there are holy things at work in this house. No, it's not this place that's saving me, but the things that go on in this place can save me. They can keep me where I need to be kept. They can teach me how I need to live. Amen. Parents and people in this place hearing me right now, there's a holy work that's being done. Make sure that you're making this place a holy place where people can find God and live for God and honor God in a way that they can in other places. This is not a bar. This is not a social club. This is not an event center where we can all just get together and do anything. No, no, no. Somebody in the sound of my voice today, they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their life. Somebody in the sound of my voice today needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody needs to be forgiven of their sins. Somebody needs to be healed. Somebody needs God to turn some things over in their life so they can see what they need to deal with and change in the areas that they need to change. You okay? Amen. I want you to be okay, but if you're not okay, maybe this is for you. Amen. Why? Because there are certain things, and I just need God to come in and just make that cord and just whip it out of my life and get it out of my life and turn the table out over in my life and show me where I've been wrong. Why? Because I am near holy things. Yes. God is in this house, and where God is, it's holy ground. Yeah. We stand on holy ground. That's why. And I preached this sometime back a few years ago, and I want to remind you that maybe that was why he had Moses take off his shoes. Because being on holy ground needs you to be tender. Right. Sometimes we just need to be tender around. We need to walk softly. That's what the word just said, didn't it? Keep thy foot. Keep thy foot when you go into the house of God. Make sure you're walking tenderly. Make sure you're walking holy. Make sure you're walking around understanding this place is a godly place. Amen. Are you okay with this? Anybody else raised like that? Me? Come on. If you're okay with that, raise your hand. If you're not okay with that, don't raise your hand. I don't know what to say there. But nonetheless, there's holy things at work. There's holy things at work. There's people that need prayed for. People that are in here that are hurting and dying today. People in here that are needing somebody to love them, needing Jesus to love them. Amen. I don't want to get distracted with all that's out there and forget what's necessary in here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There lay a dead child. I think that could describe it probably best. There lay a dead child there with a crowd gathered agreeing with the verdict. But when Jesus stepped in, they had to give him place. There was no room for the doubt and despair, no place for their discouragement and defeat. What is it that you and I are giving place to in our life? That's what I'm trying to say today. What is it that we're giving place to in our life? What is it that's taking up the space that should be surrendered to God? Has that temper been getting the best of you? Has that temper been getting the best of you? Then cast it out. Stop giving it room in your home. Stop giving it place in your life, in your mind. Amen. Can I tell you, man or woman, it's not just reserved for men. Sometimes we think it is. If you're struggling with your temper, your attitude, you may need to make it a daily prayer in your life. You need to get up in the morning and you need to ask God, God, help me to control my tongue and my spirit. The temper, the attitude, the anger that's trying to control me. Come on, are you struggling with it? Then cast it out of your life. How about that habit that you can't seem to get free from? Make it leave. Don't put yourself around it. Don't put it in front of you constantly. Don't subject yourself to the abuse. Don't put yourself in a place to where you're constantly victimized by the sin or the wrong of another or of another thing in your life. Come on. Sometimes you've got to take a stand and realize that you are the temple of God.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Make that habit leave. What about that fear that creeps up on you time and time again? Tell that devil that there is no room for him in your life.
Yes.
I would probably say if we start over here on the right one all the way to the left and we ask everybody, I would say the majority of what people deal with in this place right now is fear of in some capacity.
Right.
I would say that it is probably the greatest plague that is facing the church right now. It is facing our culture without question,
yes.
But it is also facing the church. Can I tell you, if anybody on the face of the earth should not be captivated by fear of any sort on any level, it should be you and I. Because perfect love casts out all fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Can I go on? Fear not. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus, is it you? Fear not. It's me.
Yeah.
Come on, he said it again and again and again and again that we don't have to fear. You don't have to do that. Come on. Whatever fear in whatever capacity that you're dealing with, if the devil's told you you're going to go broke and lose it all, don't fear that. You serve a God that owns a cattle on a thousand hill.
Yeah.
If the devil told you that it's never going to get fixed and it's never going to work out, come on, you need to remind him that you serve a God that parted a Red Sea to let his children walk through on dry ground. Amen. If the devil's told you that you're going to die and you're going to be lost and you don't have no hope, come on, he raises people from the dead. He's the giver of life. He's the regenerator of the soul. He's the redeemer of everything about us. You don't have to fear.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Is there too many voices trying to tell you that it's too late? No hope, no remedy? Show them the door because Jesus is here. You get that?
Yes.
He's here. Show them the door. Why are we so accommodating to sin? Sinful things, wrong things that oppose God. Come on, take a stand. Show it the door. Don't welcome it. Don't invite it in for sure, but show it the door. All you need is his touch, musicians. All you need is his touch, and everything is going to be all right when we do the right thing. All you need to give him is the space in your life, and he will take care of the rest. You take that hand, hear me, take his hand right now. He has come to lead you into life and raise you up out of that place that has been taking the life from you so that you can live again. It is not the will of God that you live in a dormant, dead space. It is not the will of God that you live constantly defeated.
Yeah.
It is not the will of God that you constantly live in a place where it is gloom and despair and contradiction to the life that he is. Give him place right now. Don't allow it to be that all those things are taking up the space in your life. Give him room to save you,
yes.
To minister to your need.
Yes.
Don't let all those voices crowd out the voice of the Savior, made, arise.
Yes.
You know, I believe that the divine nature that he was, he could have pierced through all the noise that was in that room, but there was something about the fact that he put out the professional mourners that had placed themselves there and all the flutes that were playing and the music and the noise and the voice and almost a celebratory death. I believe that his voice could have pierced through all of that, but there was something about the fact that Jesus decided, I'm gonna show you how this works. I'm gonna put all that out of here. I'm gonna put all that to the side just so that little girl can hear me say, rise up. Do you hear him? Do you hear him in your world? Do you hear him in your life? Do you hear him in your home right now? Because if you're not, you should. Rise up. Rise up. Come back to life. Come back to hope. Come back to peace. You may have been living dead for years. It's time to come back to life.
Yes.
You may have been oppressed for years. It's time to come back to the light.
Yes.
You may have been incarcerated for years. It's time to be set free.
Yes.
Rise up. Rise up,
yes.
Maiden. You don't have to die anymore. You don't have to die anymore. Come on. God never meant for you and I to live in a slow death. He's the giver of life. Father, I pray right now. Come on, somebody pray with me as you stand to your feet and they begin to sing and you make your way to this altar and repent and be baptized in his name and filled with his spirit and live for God. Come on, this is a time that you rise up. This is a moment that you rise up. This is a moment that you find hope. This is the moment that you find peace. Come on, this is the place where he's called you to. You don't have to live dying. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in confusion and wonder and worry. Come on, in Jesus' name, he is the giver of life. Rise up. Hear that voice that's speaking to you today. Hear that voice that's saying something to you today. Rise up. Rise up. Take up your bed and walk. Turn over the tables. Find the things that need to be dealt with. No, there's a healer in the house. No, there's a savior in this place. There's holy things at work, divine things at work. Hallelujah. Oh God, you are the answer for everybody. You are the answer for every soul, for every home, for every life, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I love you, God. God, you are the giver of life. God, you are the giver of life. God, you are the giver of redemption. God, you are the giver of peace. God, you are the giver of hope today. Raise up. Raise him up, God. Raise him up now. You lift up the hands that hang down. You strengthen the feeble knees, God. You make the path straight. You're a dweller. Oh, Lord, you restore the path to dwell in, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him place today. Give him place today. Give him place today. Let him work. Let him heal you. Let him save you. Let him love you today. Let him forgive you today. Forgive yourself today. God. We're ready for more. We're ready for more. Hallelujah. Oh God, we need you, we need you, we need you, we need you. Oh, so ready for you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, you're the answer. You're the answer. You're the answer. You're the answer. You're the answer, Lord.